Welcome to a special edition of the Boneyard. I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here from the Boneyard Studios here in Starkville, Mississippi. Hope you're well this weekend. Got a lot to cover. I don't know how long we go. It won't be our full show. We'll give you the full show on Monday as we get the full NCAA bracket. Got a lot to talk about today. Some good things happening, some bad things happening. The reality of it is it is what it is. And we have to kind of contend with where we are and just overcome it. You know, that's the reality of life. And this show always brought to you by Bulldog Burger Company. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We love them so much. One of the main reasons why is the diversity of the menu. There's so many great things. While they specialize in hamburgers, it's not just all that they do well. They do everything well. And of course, some new items on the menu, the smash burgers, the chili cheese fries. I like to add jalapenos to mine. I don't know what you guys do with yours, but that's what I do to mine. I like a little spice in life. And of course, that Bischoff cheesecake. And of course, my son Ian works there and has had a tremendous experience working at Bulldog Burger Company. And going to be taking on some more added responsibility. And I thank those fine folks there, but it's been a good fit for everybody. And he has really thrived there and has loved being an employee there. So if you have a student heading to Mississippi State looking for employment, I would encourage you to check with one of the Eat With Us group restaurants. My oldest, Audrey, worked at Harvey's, and of course the youngest works at Bulldog Burger Company. I cannot emphasize enough what wonderful experiences they had as employees of the Eat With Us group. And of course, you can go to eatwithus.com, and you can also purchase some gift cards there for perhaps some students you know that could use a night out. But Bulldog Burger Company is our sponsor, and we're proud to have them. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridgeland Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, we would be remiss if we didn't open the show with some good news, as the Mississippi State women's softball team is headed to the Women's College World Series for the first time ever. How cool is that? I'm so jacked. And I remember when we made the decision to move on from Van Studemann, a lot of people weren't sure what we would do, how we would go about things. We elected to promote from within. There was a lot of chatter as we began our search that, hey, guys, you have a rock star in Sam Ricketts already there, so why not just promote from within? And so we did, and some people thought, well, you know, Mississippi State's being cheap here, you know, and then lo and behold, Sam Ricketts has taken us places we have never gone before, and now she takes us on tour through Norman, Oklahoma, her alma mater, and she beats her mentor, Coach Gasso, the first team to ever beat Oklahoma to reach the Women's College World Series for their first ever World Series appearance. We'll give you a quick rundown. And it's just so incredible, right? I mean, it's like, you know, we win that game one, and then we kind of got knocked around a little bit in game two. And I think some people thought, well, maybe this is as far as we go. No, that's not the case. And Bulldogs score a couple runs there in the first inning and just kind of piecing this thing together, right? I mean, you get a walk there. You get a double to put runners at second and third. You get a single that chases in couple runs, so it's 2-0. So already you're settling your offense, and that's where the game kind of stayed for just a little while. But then the Bulldogs tack on another, and again just kind of manufacturing a run here, right? And we get a single through the left side, pop up, there's the first out, pass ball sends Stiles to second, Romero flies out, we tag and take third, and then Keller singles through the shortstop. And no chance to throw her out at first. The run scores. Now it's 3-0 Bulldogs. Well, you know, that's where it stays again. And then Arnestis leads off the fourth inning with a solo shot on the very first pitch to make it a 4-0 game. But the Bulldogs weren't done there. They weren't done there. And then we get into the fifth, and it's a walk to Barbary, wild pitch, bring in a pinch runner, and then first home run by Bernardini is a two-out shot to left. And it didn't prove to be the game winner, but man, one of those things, too, that she will remember for the rest of her life. She leapt around the bases, kind of somewhat reminiscent of Elijah McNamee, but it's 6-0. And a little bit of drama there in the seventh. Not too terribly much, but they get a leadoff single. Then there's a hit by pitch. Then there's a fly out to center. And a hit by pitch. Oh, excuse me. That's the hit by pitch. Pardon me. I got confused. I was watching the game. And then it's a line out to left and a ground out to second. And that proves to be your ball game. And you didn't hear any Oklahoma offensive highlights in this game because Mississippi State pitched a shutout. How about that? Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest games ever. And you get a tremendous performance by Delaney Everett, of course, who lost her dad not too terribly long ago. And I got very teary-eyed on the post-game interview as today is her mom and dad's anniversary. How about that? Yeah, I mean, you get emotional just thinking about it. But three strikeouts, three walks, but she allows just three hits to the number one offense in all of college softball. And Oklahoma has been an institution. We have a tremendous amount of respect for them. And so, you know, it's not like State got the hurdles lowered for them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we won a regional, and then, like, we didn't have, like, a three seed, another regional. We had to go face the number three seed, Oklahoma Sooners. And, again, they have been just an absolute machine. And so, yeah, now we, I guess we just stay on over, right? Because just up the street there, going to have the Women's College World Series there in Oklahoma City. Super cool, man. I mean, it's just like, you never know, you know, when you're cheering for the logo, how things are going to go, right? You know what I'm saying? It's just, you just don't know how things are going to work out. But now here we are doing something unprecedented, doing something that maybe many people thought we couldn't do. And I've already texted Tyler Bratton. I'm just so proud of everybody. You know, it's like being a Mississippi State fan builds character. You know, it's one of those things, too, where you have to, at times, take a moment to fully embrace all of the successes that we have when we have them. And in women's sports, we have done some incredible things the last decade or so. And I think that's fair to say. Of course, we competed for two national championships in women's basketball. And just last year, Mississippi State wins the first ever SEC championship in women's soccer for them. And now here we are advancing to the Women's College World Series. And that is an incredible accomplishment. And it cannot be overstated just how wonderful that is. And it's just one of those things that I look at and you just kind of begin to just think about, you know, what could be, right? And so real quickly here, we will we'll give you kind of what's left, okay? So the Bulldogs will be in bracket one. And Texas Tech wins today over Florida. I think it was 11-6. They had some drama too. Like, well, they had a former Gator playing for Texas Tech that's been hit by a pitch like five times, and she kind of leaned her knee into it, and everybody got all angry and mad, and we had to sit down and talk about it. But so Texas Tech moves on, so we'll be in that bracket. And also in that bracket is Alabama and UCLA. And the bottom half of the bracket is mostly set. Arkansas, Nebraska, and Tennessee are in, and then Texas and Arizona State currently finishing up their game. So as you guys can tell, you know, I'm recording this a little bit early, but nevertheless, thought, hey, no matter what else is going on, we're going to take a moment and recognize these great Bulldogs. And to all of you Bulldog fans that made the trip, I tweeted this out, but I want to say it here on the show. When things started really rocking and rolling, man, our fans that were in attendance started that maroon and white cheer. I almost wanted to join them from home. So for all of you that made the effort to be there, I want you to know that you were heard, you represented us well, and I'm so glad that our fan base turned out for an historic moment to cheer on those Bulldogs. And you got to see some incredible history today. It's incredible. It truly is. And, guys, I'm going to tell you something, man. And I'm not casting aspersions at anybody or being critical of anybody. But there was a time in our university's history where we just simply fielded women's teams because we had to. Right? We did. And everybody can say what they want to. And listen, you know, we hadn't always been, the most profitable or, wealthiest university in athletic department. And that remains to be true. But that said, we've made a commitment in the, last dozen years or so, and to really invest in the women's athletics. And maybe not as much as some of our contemporaries. But, man, it is incredible how far women's sports has come at Mississippi State in recent years. And so now we've got something incredible to celebrate and something to cheer for that maybe we thought we never would. And, we hadn't been in a super regional very often. You know, we got two wins ever in program history in a super regional, and they both came this weekend. And now we get to celebrate something incredibly fantastic. And that's the way we wanted to open the show today. And really, really appreciate Coach Ricketts and everybody around. And that softball complex is absolutely incredible. So, again, congratulations to everybody connected to Mississippi State softball. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Yeah, he knows how to get things done. It's a complicated process. You need somebody to help you navigate through the ins and outs of underwriting because sometimes they ask for ridiculous things. You know, lack of your child's first haircut, a pint of blood, a note from your mom. You never know what they're going to ask for. But Blair can kind of beat back some of that ridiculousness by constructing your loan in the most professional way possible, right? Saves you a lot of time and effort when you have the right loan originator. Get his 25 years of expertise and know-how working for you and make the dream of home ownership come true for you and your family. Whether it's your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo, maybe you're looking to refinance. I don't know. I don't know your needs, but I know who can help you fulfill those needs. Save his number in your phone again, 601-500-2344. You may forget the name. You won't forget the need. Just save it as Mortgage Guy. And when you need him, he'll be there for you. That's closeatblair.com. All right, well, by now you certainly know that Mississippi State is hosting an NCAA college baseball regional in Starkville at Duty Noble Field next weekend. And it's a story that we've chased all day. It's interesting, too. Like, one of the things that I'll share with you guys, we have a network of sources that has served us well over the years. And, it wasn't like last year we knew we were going to Tallahassee. For those of you that subscribe to Gene's page, you'll know that we had like stories up immediately of what teams we're going to be playing in Tallahassee. And so we work our network of sources. Now, throughout the week, our sources have repeatedly told us Mississippi State is fine. This morning, I got a text from someone that I know and trust. It was in Hoover and said, "Hey, things may be turning a little bit away from Mississippi State." So we get on the phone and we talk to some of our people at Mississippi State. We talk to some of our other partners. And you just keep working it, right? And then, of course, the D1 Baseball and Baseball America projections come out. And, we're not projected to host. And so then immediately the fan base reacts as we always do in a very negative way. And guys, there were some things that I was hearing that weren't positive. And so I just kept working the phones and kept working the phones. And then I'm going to give you time on this just because I think it's important, right? Let's see here. And I've got to scroll back because as you can imagine, there's been a lot of text. So at 5:32, I was told it's going to work out. And so I reached out to some people at Mississippi State and said, "Hey, here's what I'm hearing. I think it's all going to work out the way we want it to. but you still don't trust it until you actually see it released. That's how it felt. It's like 2 hours, I'm just sitting there just trying to find something to do. And I said, well, I'm going to start recording the show. And so let's run down kind of, something else I want to say too. And I know it's so difficult because, man, I can be so petty. I can be a very petty and vindictive person. And you do not understand that sometimes it takes every fiber in my being not to respond to that stuff. You don't understand, like, some of the greatest accomplishments in my life is the restraint that I have shown by not tweeting out something or not saying something, right? I just want to say that. So for those of you that are so inclined to, like, go rub this in D1 baseball and Kendall Rogers' face, I'm going to ask that you not do that, okay? Listen, Baseball America has changed a lot since Teddy Cahill has left. And so I don't know a lot of those guys at Baseball America. And sometimes I feel like they kind of mimic what D1 baseball does. I mean, that's just kind of what I observe. I don't subscribe to them. I do subscribe to D1 baseball. But at the end of the day, we're all just doing the best we can. And I can tell you, I had my neck out there, right? And the people are like, oh, well, Steve, you know, D1 baseball saying this and Baseball America saying this. And guys, I just didn't respond to it, right? And a lot of it is because I'm not going to regurgitate what everybody else says. That's not what I'm going to do. I've got an obligation to you to continue to work the story. And that's what we did. And so if you're a subscriber to Gene's page, right around 5:30-ish, you were told, hey, just hang in there. We're still in the fight, right? And this is after everybody else had told you not. And there were other people, of course, on our beat that were just like, you know, just assuming that the guys at D1 Baseball had it right. Well, they didn't have it right. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. It's not sourced information when it comes to these big projections. It's just those guys' opinions, okay? Now, they have very credible opinions. I mean, the guys have been doing this a long time. I consider Mark Etheridge an incredible friend, and he is one of the best people that I know. He is one of the greatest human beings that I have ever known. And I know that Mark Etheridge would never, ever be part of some clickbait BS, ever. And so I'm just going to ask that you not do that. Don't go out there like, you know, we gain nothing from it, right? It makes you feel good, right? But those guys are doing a job promoting a sport that is underpublicized, period. So I just wanted to kind of get that out there. That's my feelings, and I hope that you guys, you know, will agree that let's just be happy we're hosting. Now, I did fire off a tweet at an Arkansas fan that was a little bit too gleeful, right, about suggesting we weren't going to host. And I did save that receipt. I did. And so I just want to get that out there. I just think it's important for us to, when we can, take the high road, okay? Let's take the high road, okay? This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. And for some, summer is their favorite season of the year. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, adventure becomes a focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough. It could be overwhelming. Then they start counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And you feel like you're wasting all these days of beautiful sunshine. We plan to get out and have some fun as a family too, but we plan to thrive and not just survive. Therapy can help people better understand their needs and feel more confident setting boundaries and create a version of summer that actually feels good. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists. It is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct, and they are fully licensed in the United States. The reality of it is you need to learn how to say no. You don't have to say yes to everything. Take advantage of BetterHelp and take charge of your summer. You don't have to say yes. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. So let's jump in here and just talk about which the sites are. They're listed in alphabetical order, okay? So we'll find out tomorrow, and again, you'll have another show to break down the bracket. And so we'll see kind of where things landed. Now, kind of how it all played out is always important. And it's always so interesting, too, that there are a lot of people out there that have trouble kind of admitting that they don't know. And one of the things that I have learned over the years is that when I don't know something, I just need to tell you guys that I don't know something. I'll offer you an opinion and I'll say as much, but it's just one of those deals where I just feel like, I don't gain anything by pretending. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not going to be that guy that's like, oh yeah, well, I heard that too, you know, if I haven't. So here's where we go. Here's the host locations. And again, they are not, they're not listed in anything other than alphabetical order. So we don't know the actual seeding, though I think between you and I and a couple of mouse clicks, we could probably figure out pretty good semblance of that. So your SEC regular season and SEC tournament champion Georgia Bulldogs will host a regional to the surprise of nobody. Georgia Tech will also host, and I suspect they'll be the number two seed. We'll see how it plays out seeding-wise. I still don't think Georgia deserves to be number three. That's my personal opinion. That's not to say they won't be number three. I just don't think they should be. I do think Tech should be number two. Auburn, Alabama, no real surprise there, right? Austin, Texas, no surprise there. Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I think you've got a pretty good semblance right there. You put UCLA at the top of this, and it's probably going to be Tech, Auburn, Texas, North Carolina. College Station, Texas will host, and I still contend they will not be a top eight. Eugene, Oregon. Oregon will host, which has kind of gone along with what we've been forecasting for a while. Florida will host, as they should. Southern Miss will host. They will be the lone G5 team to host, and they are the most deserving. They won the Sun Belt regular season title and the conference tournament, and it was wild with Troy. It really was. They finally beat back UL Lafayette in the championship today. Lawrence, Kansas will host. Kansas hosting a regional for the first time in school history. Nebraska will host, something we've all expected. UCLA will host. Morgantown, West Virginia will host. I thought it was going to go either or. I thought USC would get this spot, but it looks like West Virginia is getting that spot. And then, of course, Starkville, Mississippi, and then Tallahassee, Florida for Florida State, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama for Alabama. So if we go back and we kind of think about some of the things that we talked about early in the week, really the only exception from what we talked about last week on Monday is UCLA didn't host. Pardon me. West Virginia didn't host. Yeah, UCLA is going to host. West Virginia gets in there in that USC spot. And I really felt like West Virginia and Kansas would be one or the other. But they both get in because USC doesn't. And so pretty much, again, and I say you don't have to be a college baseball guru to read numbers. And so, again, if you go back to what we had on Monday, we named what we thought would be the 16 regional sites, and we got 15 of the 16 correct. And that's also, too, further evidence that the conference tournaments don't carry nearly as much weight. If we know on Monday, before the conference tournaments begin, that this is how things will likely go, and the chalk holds, and this is where we are. So, again, I truly believe West Virginia, who finished second in the SEC tournament, in the Big 12 tournament, takes USC's place. Everything else is pretty much gone as we expected, pretty much. Oregon State doesn't host, as we projected. And, I've had these very candid conversations. But the reality of it is Mississippi State is hosting. We are thrilled to be hosting for the first time since the 2021 era. And I want to share you guys a quick story. I've actually called Zach Selman and He's on a plane back, right? So I wanted to leave him a message because I remember we were in Tallahassee, Florida last year, and Zach looked at me and didn't have his athletic director mask on. He looked at me as a person, and he kind of let some personality kind of slip out. And he looked at me and he said, "Steve, you don't know how bad it bothers me that our stadium is sitting empty this weekend. And one of the things that I think is important to understand about your athletic director is he's not just a suit, okay? This is a guy, it's a competitor. This is a guy that knows what baseball means to me and to you and your families, your friends, everybody." And that was one of his big goals. That's one of the reasons that we hired Brian O'Connor, was to bring postseason baseball back to Duty Noble Field. That's an important aspect of every bit of this, right? And now we've done it in year one. Now, for many of us, it's kind of a relief, right? Let's just be honest about that. We feel somewhat validated, but most importantly, we feel relieved, right? Because we got off to such a great start this year, 7-2 in the SEC, and then we didn't win in the month of May. We had some wins, but we didn't win any series in the month of May. And so our postseason profile began to kind of deteriorate, not at the rate that some other people reported that it did. But there was obviously some reason for concern, obviously. And so for those people that were kind of wringing your hands out there, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that was just idle chatter. I mean, there was a reason. And many people felt like we hadn't done enough. And that's one of the things that I want to go back and recap in the next segment of the show, is that we absolutely did do enough. And the committee agrees with that. There were many of our fan base, and again, it's a coping mechanism, right? Oh, we just don't deserve it. Well, yeah, we do deserve it. We do deserve it. And it's important for us, I think, at times to kind of change our mentality and not always project negativity. And there's a lot of people right now, again, back to this whole petty and vindictive thing, they'd be smart to go delete some tweets, okay? There's a lot of people that spoke very authoritatively about this, and they were wrong. And again, I don't want you rushing to Twitter to hold these people accountable, but my hope is that they themselves will think, you know, maybe in the future, I just don't need to assume that somebody else knows better than I do. And I don't mean I as in Steve, I mean you. Just don't assume just because some guy has a Twitter account and speaks in authoritative language that he's an authority on anything. They don't know any more than you do. They just want you to believe that. But now here we are hosting. And you know what? All of us forgiven, right? We'll all go celebrate this together. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, "I'm just so glad I was wrong." Right? Well, I don't know that I believe that. I don't. But I do think that you're happy we're hosting. I don't think you're happy you were wrong. I think there were some people that got very invested in their narrative that is based on nothing. And then all of a sudden, they're out there on Twitter regurgitating and just this same old tired song. You know, Mississippi State, oh, poor is us, woe is us, we always get screwed. Well, guess what? It didn't happen the way that you projected it. And so my hope for you guys as Bulldog fans, when this occurs again, that you'll just kind of let that stuff go and not let it get you all wound up and not get invested in all of that stuff, all of that false narrative, nonsense stuff. I think it's very important for us to be candid about that. As a fan base, we have got to have a greater sense of confidence. We've got to abandon this old poor old Mississippi State mentality that so many people have that permeates our fan base. It's so prevalent within our fan base. We deserve better. You deserve better. Mississippi State deserves better. And I'll be honest with you, the national college baseball media does not respect us enough. Period. They don't. But I also understand that it is a business first. And at the end of the day, we don't need anybody else's approval. We just got to go out there and win ball games. And the fortunate part of this is here in the next week, we're going to get a chance to win those ball games in our own ballpark, We need you guys to buy your tickets, pack it out, be ready to go. Let's set another postseason attendance record. Let's do some incredible things at Duty Noble Field together. And let's just learn from this experience and kind of move forward, knowing and understanding that there is a process in place, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in our next segment, and that you need to understand that just let the process play out before we just go commit Harry Carey and get all wild up and make everybody else nervous. Just let it play out, which is what we should have done all day today. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. You can get your Starkville Regional shirts, and you never know. Maybe a shirt that says, even an underdog is still a dog. Maybe that's coming too. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. But all your Mississippi State merchandising needs can be met at Campus Bookmart. Now, stop by and see their smiling faces the next time you're in Starkville, and hopefully that's this weekend. Pick up some new gear to wear out the Duty Noble Field and the Davis-Wade Stadium. Or perhaps Oklahoma City. How about that if you're making the trip out there? Stop by, get some fresh gear. If you can't make it to town and you'd like to celebrate by wearing the brand, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. Use promo code BSR. You know what it stands for, Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right. Let's take a quick look here. Now that we know the regional hosting sites, and again, it shouldn't have been a huge surprise. You know, we talked about, I felt like the top 14 were safe. And basically, here's how it plays out for them, okay? So, number one, RPI, UCLA, they're hosting. Number two, Georgia Tech, hosting. Auburn, three, hosting. Four, North Carolina, hosting. Five, Texas, hosting. Six, Alabama, hosting. Seven, Florida State, hosting. Eight, Georgia, hosting. And there's probably a good chance that those are your top eight. Perhaps not in that order, because again, you know, there's some people projecting Georgia will be higher. I still think they're lower than three. I still think that's the case. Well, then you get to the first, and I don't know if we can call it a snub, but the first omission, USC. Now, this is one of those things that I think we have to kind of elaborate on and investigate as a governing body when it comes to RPI. Is how could USC be the 9 RPI with one win against the quad one? There is clearly some things that we have to tweak. They did not schedule to compete. They played 22 games against the quad four. I mean, let that sink in. We talk about weak scheduling. Guys, 22 games against the quad four. You have to get all the way down to Jacksonville State, the Conference USA champions, to find another team with that many quad four games. And then there's Mercer at 28 that played 28. The point in that is, if you are a power four school and you're scheduling on par with a Conference USA school, you don't deserve to host. And you know what? Good on the committee for not rewarding them. I think that's an important aspect. So they don't make it, okay? So Nebraska does. They absolutely should. They went 16-0 against the quad four, 9-8 against the quad one, and finished with a 10 in the RPI. Then there's Florida at 11. And again, I thought they didn't have enough juice to make it. Had they won yesterday against Georgia, I think they would be a top eight. I don't think they will be. But stranger things have happened. Then, of course, Southern Miss leapfrogs over State today in the RPI at number 12 after they beat Troy and then beat UL Lafayette. It's a couple of wins today, so it makes sense. And again, they're going to host. They're not going to be a top eight. They're going to host. Then there's Mississippi State. Then there's Texas A&M. Then there's Oregon. And then there's another break, right? So 15 minus USC, which works out to be top 14, are hosting. Ole Miss is at 16, not hosting. Oregon State at 17, not hosting. And again, kudos to the committee for kind of seeing through the BS here. They played his 5 games against the quad one and then played a host of games against the Quad 3 and the Quad 4. You can say, well, you know, they're not in the conference. They don't have the ability to kind of build their RPI. I get that. I get it. But you can't sit here and manipulate all this and go play all these mid-major teams on the road and then expect to host. This was the right decision. And so as a result, that's three teams in the top 17 that don't host. But that leaves you two spots to work with. We knew there would be at least one Big 12 team in. There's two. West Virginia and Kansas, who played yesterday for the Big 12 championship title. And you may recall in 2022, Oklahoma ends up winning the Big 12 championship game late at night after the regional hostings have already been announced. They ended up with a comparable RPI of West Virginia and Kansas and then didn't get the host. But they did run through the tournament and end up played for a national championship and ultimately lost to Ole Miss. So basically, we've had all of these other metrics. We're going to use KPI, we're going to use all the DSR, everything. But at the end of the day, basically what this committee did is use the top 16 RPIs for teams that met the metrics. So USC, out. Ole Miss, out. Oregon State, out. And again, you look at every one of those, there is a precedent that is set when you're USC. And I think there's a precedent set with Oregon State. And with Ole Miss, you follow a precedent that you've never had a 15-15 team. You've had some fit. You had a 1-15-win Florida team. I think they went 15-14. I think that's right. But also Ole Miss doesn't host. So you don't get that extra hosting size. You end up getting seven. And then there's Arkansas. And again, there's been so much of this recency bias in the national college baseball media, which, of course, feeds all this social media traffic, right? Arkansas ends up with a 21 RPI. There's only been a handful of schools that have hosted with a 20-plus RPI. Wichita State was right at 20 in 2007. And then Ole Miss has done it at 22. A&M has done it in 22. The worst one ever happened way back 2011. UCLA was 34 in the RPI, but they won the Pac-12 regular season championship, and they had a lot of representation on the committee. But there have been some steps taken since then to kind of prevent that. And so, again, for those people that say RPI is not the barometer of which we measure teams, these 16 host site selections suggest that they're absolutely wrong. Because that's a thing that I look at, too. Like, if USC had a better non-conference schedule, they would have hosted. If Ole Miss had won more conference games, they'd have hosted. If Oregon State played a real schedule, they'd have hosted. But those are the three anomalies to the RPI model. And so, again, you can start at 19 and just work your way up and just eliminate these schools that don't fit the parameters, and you got your 16 host sites. Now the big question comes in, and we'll talk about this on Monday. Is Mississippi State the 13th seed? Are they the 14th seed, the 15th seed, the 16th seed? I don't think we're 16. And the thing that I would say about this aspect of it, when we get to the super regional round, business matters, okay? So this is where geography kind of plays a part in some of this, right? And, of course, there's going to be some people on the committee that they're going to look at this and say, hey, well, the SEC got most of the hosting sites. We don't really want to have an all-SEC College World Series. So they'll have us pick each other off, right? Now, I still contend if they gave all seven of us the pathway to get to Omaha, that we would fill up half the field or more. I truly believe that. But you're going to have some people kind of paired up. And so this is where I think, this is just my thought process. UCLA, they could pair up with either USC or Oregon, I think, when it's all said and done. You got three, you got two in the far west, so it makes sense to have UCLA and Oregon. They're from the same conference, though, but as is Nebraska, right? And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how they figured that aspect of it out. Now, one of the things that I think would be interesting, we've been to Georgia Tech a lot, and they love the SEC-ACC matchup. If we end up being the 15 seed, then I think that's going to lock us in with a super at Georgia Tech, assuming that everybody wins. In the event that we are the 16, that have us paired up with UCLA, I just don't think that's going to happen. I just don't think so. Maybe, but I don't think so. And if it is, then you know we got an expensive plane ticket we got to buy, and we got to go cover some games. But I could see a scenario where like State stays right here at 13 and could be sent to North Carolina. You're 13 in the RPI. RPI is clearly the metric that they valued the most. And so you could be 13. Or, right, again, USC is out, right? So then that bumps you up a spot, maybe puts you in the 12. Does that send you to Texas? Does it send you to Alabama? You know, that's, again, we got to see how everybody's seated. And then tomorrow we'll have, you know, the real idea of how this thing is all going to play out. But again, I think it's interesting to see, despite the fact that we had so many other metrics to use and so many other tools to utilize, that we still went back to the RPI. And that's one of those things that every year they tell us that's not going to be the case. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. You should make this a party atmosphere whenever you can. We don't want you getting too crazy, but just come make some memories with the people you care the most about, right? What would be wrong with that? Well, nothing, right? We've stayed there. We got my mom, my stepdad together, all of our kids, the grandkids, everybody was there under one roof, four generations, and it was a special time for us. It can be a special time for you. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, like that full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. Plenty of parking. That's an underrated amenity when you're getting a large group together. You'll be glad you've got all that room to kind of separate and spread out. Only a couple neighbors out there. You're going to enjoy some peace and quiet out there. Part of that Google search is also going to reveal some booking options. That's Airbnb. That's VRBO or Vrbo, however you want to pronounce it. But you can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 1010, to get 10% off your stay. Just listen to this show, man. You're getting a discount at the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Whether it's a ballgame weekend or a midweek family or business associate retreat, you can do no wrong at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. Well, in this final segment of the show, one of the things I want to talk about is take a moment, Bulldog fans, and just kind of take a deep breath, okay? All of you were so incredibly invested in the outcome of today's softball game. And how many times have we been to the precipice of glory and had it slammed in our face? And then, of course, bringing baseball back to Duty Noble Field in the postseason. It's something that we have relished in our past, and we haven't been able to enjoy enough. And in Brian O'Connor's first year, we're there. And so some incredibly great things happened for your university and your favorite athletic teams today. And that buzzing you heard was Zach Selman calling back. And Zach and I, of course, have had a dialogue, and it's just absolutely incredible. And I can tell you that he is beside himself with glee and excitement about what has happened this weekend for Mississippi State. And so, and he joked too, he goes, yeah, we're going to have some interesting logistics that our fans are going to have to navigate through this week. But man, we're so excited to put all that together. Right. And so we have endured so much in the last few years. And so I think it's important for us when something like this happens that we take a moment to kind of reflect, but also to look forward. That in Brian O'Connor's first year, we are back hosting again, which obviously gives us a better path to Omaha. Right. We probably will have to go on the road for a super regional provided we win. But as our softball team taught today, you can go out there and you can slay the dragon and you can go achieve something historic. And that is something that I think every one of us needs to take an inventory of. I think that's more important than firing off a bunch of tweets. You know, to people at the end of the day, they're just doing the best they can. So it's important to understand when the bracket comes out tomorrow, we're not going to know the times that we're going to play. But historically, what Brian O'Connor has done when he hosted regionals at Virginia is we have played the early game. Okay, that's important to understand. We have typically played the early game in the Brian O'Connor era at Virginia. In recent years, in both 2019 and 2021, when Chris Simonis was our coach, we also played the afternoon game. Now, the thinking behind that is, yes, I know it hurts the crowds because you want to have that great Friday night, you know, attendance. But if there is any weather, then that game obviously gets pushed back. You have to play late, and then the loser of that game has to get up and play the early game the next day. If you play the early game and you win, you don't play again until Saturday night. If you lose, you get plenty of time to rest. And so there's a lot of baseball played in a short amount of time. So that's the thinking behind that. And there are a lot of schools that do that. Not all of them. There's some that say, hey, just give us the Friday night thing. We want the big crowd here. You know, we want to generate as much revenue as we can. And of course, the NCAA collects the ticket stuff. But, you know, within the city itself, we're going to sell a lot of beer and we're going to sell a lot of hamburgers and we're going to sell a lot of salads in the great city of Starkville this weekend. So I hope everybody's stocking up to get ready for that, because that is so incredibly important too. It's not just, it's not just a good time for us to come to a ball game. The great city of Starkville and your favorite businesses here in town will get another bonus weekend to put some money in the bank. And I know you don't mind spending it when you come up here, but it's so great for our community and for our Starkville businesses to have postseason baseball here. And again, you never know, with an upset in the other bracket, you could have a super regional next weekend. But we're not going to put the cart before the horse. We're just going to enjoy the fact that we're going to be hosting this weekend. Now, another thing that I researched yesterday, and I wrote an article about it, maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. Historically, Brian O'Connor has thrown off in game ones where they hosted. So as one seed versus a four, he has still thrown a regular weekend starter, but he has not thrown his ace against the four seed. Now, one of the things you got to kind of look at is, you know, hey, who is regionally close to us that won their conference championship? Well, traditionally, as we've talked about, the when the SWAC championship game winner is from the western part of that conference, they typically go to State, Ole Miss, LSU, somewhere like that. Now, Alabama State, and I'm double-checking my memory here, Alabama State won the SWAC, and so there's a chance that they could get sent to Alabama, Auburn, or perhaps Mississippi State. You know, so, you know, there's the possibility of that happening. And yes, Alabama State did beat FAMU. It's the four seed coming out of the SWAC. You know, that's a possibility, is your four seed. You look at the, you know, the Sun Belt, there's not going to be a lot of at-larges there. But Louisiana is now projected to make the tournament. They could be a team that makes sense here, but probably not as a four. Maybe they come in as a three seed. That's something to kind of consider too. Or do they send them to Texas or Texas A&M? Troy is another team, obviously, that is now on the cusp. They're mid-30s now in the RPI. They could be a team. And again, they could go to Alabama, Auburn, or Mississippi State. I mean, those are the things you have to kind of consider when you think about, you know, four seeds and things, teams of that nature. You know, we had Samford come in out of the SoCon a few years ago, but again, you know, they didn't win it this year. The Citadel won it. And so now you begin to wonder, you know, if it was Samford, they'd probably send them here or to one of the Alabama regionals. But there will be enough four seeds to go around. The Citadel probably ends up at North Carolina or somewhere like that, because again, geography really plays a factor in all of this. And so now when I think about what else within the region makes some sense, since Fayetteville's not hosting, Arkansas Little Rock, who won their league tournament out of the Ohio Valley, they beat Eastern Illinois, do they come to Mississippi State? Right? To me, that makes some sense. You know, so probably what you would see is Valinkas held for game two. And there's a lot of thought process behind that. Game two is either a chance for you to stave off elimination or to secure a winner's bracket game where everybody else has to kind of work their way back up to playing you. So I suspect Valinkas will throw game two. Does that mean that Duke Stone throws game one? Well, that kind of remains to be seen. Now, one thing that I have heard is that Ryan McPherson is doing very well. As you guys know, he has been back. The whole goal was to get him some appearances before we got into an NCAA regional. And that's a factor, I think, too, that has to kind of be considered, too, when you think about Mississippi State and their postseason prospects, is that we have played the better part of 2 months without our Friday night starter. And so I think in some respects, maybe the vibe around this team and the opinion of this team has kind of been skewed because of the fact we have really not had three bona fide starters. Of course, we got a couple of good outings out of Charlie Foster. He pitched extremely well at Ole Miss and had the best outing of his career against South Carolina. But there have been some other ones that just haven't gone well. And so now, if Ryan McPherson is full go, and we're hearing that he is full go, and the competitor that Ryan is, now all of a sudden you have an opportunity to get your full weekend rotation back for the postseason. And that's something that I think maybe has not been valued enough. Having McPherson back, what does that mean? Do you throw Ryan in game one? You know, do you throw Ryan in game one and then Valinkas in game two? Now, obviously, if Ryan is on a pitch limit, I don't know that he would be. But, you know, if you throw him against the four seed, maybe, you know, he gives you six innings and then you can throw some back of the bullpen guys. But there's not going to be, it's not going to be like playing, you know, just a typical midweek game. You know, you're going to face their midweek pitching only probably on day three. As a four seed, they're going to come in here and throw their ace or the closest thing they have to one. And so I think it's one of those things where the game kind of has to dictate your bullpen decisions. But the reality of it is that we should be full strength with our regular weekend rotation going into this regional. That is extremely important. And then, of course, if you throw Ryan in game one, then that gives you the option to throw Duke in game three. So not only would that put you back with your regular rotation, it would put you back in the order that you originally intended. And Duke's done a good job for us this year. And so you got to start thinking, you know, Duke Stone having the opportunity, if it plays out like that, Duke Stone would have a chance to win a regional, to win a regional final, and then get Mississippi State, you know, back to rest and preparing for a super regional. So, again, there's plenty of reasons to be excited. In addition to the softball making their way, and I think it's 11:30 on Thursday, I think that's right. So we'll have some softball we can watch on Thursday, and then, of course, you know, we'll see how the rest of it plays out. But we're going to be hosting postseason baseball at Duty Noble Field with the full expanses of our pitching staff available to us, save William Kirk, right? And so I think that is an important aspect. So for those of us, including myself at times, that have been really worried, you know, about pitching when it comes to winning a big weekend, that's been a big factor for us in the month of May. You know, we didn't win a single series in the month of May. Not one. We won at least a game from everybody, but we didn't win a series. And some of that can be tied right back to starting pitching. So you get Ryan back, and that gives you the opportunity, maybe against the four, to save Ben Davis and Maddox Webb for a game two or game three, right? Maybe that becomes a Tyler Pitzer situation, right? So we've got options, and McPherson getting healthy certainly helps us in that regard. The next thing that I wanted to talk about, too, is when you begin to think about, you know, what this means for the conference, right? So at the end of the day, you get seven SEC teams, right? Again, Georgia, Auburn, Texas, Texas A&M, Florida, Mississippi State, and Alabama. So you get seven host spots. We still expect to get at least five more, or maybe four more, possibly five, depending on what happens with Kentucky. And there, again, the chalk, for the most part, held. There are only a couple of stolen bids out there, so Nick and those guys are going to have to sweat it out a little bit. But you begin to kind of run this thing down, and you begin to think about, you know, what it means for Mississippi State and for the Southeastern Conference. There are going to be essentially 12 SEC teams in 16 of the regional locations. Now, of course, no SEC team can be in another SEC team's regional, but of course we pair up there in, on the backside in a super. But what's left, of course, is Arkansas. Arkansas will be a number two somewhere. Tennessee will be a number two somewhere. Ole Miss will be a number two somewhere. Oklahoma will be a number two somewhere. And then maybe, if we're lucky, Kentucky gets in. I just don't see a pathway for Vanderbilt, not with their RPI in the 70s. So 11 to 12 teams from the SEC, that's not going to be a record. We set the record last year with 13. But, yeah, it's a great chance for the SEC to win another national championship. And, again, when you begin to think about what Georgia's done and how historic all that has gone, they're going to be the favorite to win the whole shooting match. I don't think they're going to be the number one seed. I think UCLA and Georgia would be an interesting matchup in Omaha, whether it be in a bracket or a College World Series final. It's really the contrast in styles. But how about Georgia, you know, winning the Southeastern Conference tournament for the first time in their program history? So that's kind of a cool thing, too. I mean, yeah, granted, a lot of people say, well, if we play them again, you know, the law of average is kind of work in our favor. But, you know, I don't know. I just think they're better than us. And I think, you know, I would rather play somebody else. But you know what? If we play them again, we play them again. You know, I just want to have the opportunity to do that. Right. I want to be able to win a regional, and then whether we go on the road or whatever, I would love to be able to have the opportunity to kind of make some things happen in that respect. And I think you guys feel the same way that I do. But, yeah, we left some meat on the bone this year. We did. But we did enough to host, and we don't need to apologize for that. You know, you end up being the 13 RPI team in the country, even with us having a difficult month of May. Now, granted, the quality of competition had something to do with that. But in addition to that, you know, we weren't at our full strength on the pitching side. And so now my hope is that we can play our best baseball in the postseason. That's one of those things that really matters, is you want to be playing your best baseball at the end of the year. And hopefully that's the case for Mississippi State. But the reality of it is the first step towards Omaha takes place at Duty Noble Field in Starkville, Mississippi. So rejoice, Bulldog fans. Enjoy. And we'll be back tomorrow with the full show. We have the bracket reveal at 11 a.m. Central. And then right after that, around noon, we're going to have Brian O'Connor and selected players. So we'll have full content for you tomorrow, player reaction, and then, of course, reaction to the bracket. So look for that all throughout the day over at jeanspage.com. And before you know it, man, we're going to be getting ready to play some baseball, you know. And I'm just so jacked. I'm so incredibly jacked that we're back. And I won't say that I was confident the whole way through. I won't. There were times some of my sources said, you know, Steve, it could go either way. And it went our way. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. And it's not about who gets credit. It's not about who was right. It's about Mississippi State and Mississippi State hosting a home regional. And I know that the city is restless and ready to pounce. Some of you guys know the reference. Some of you will need to look it up. But the reality of it is we are so incredibly excited for you guys to have a chance to come back. And I know you will. And I know it's been one of those moments, too. It's like you can just exhale. And feel like, hey, now we're back. Now we're back to get things done. And then maybe we make something of this thing. Because as Brian O'Connor said, seasons are judged on how they end and where they end. No, like you think about that 2018 team, it's a terrible season, as we discussed before. But it's one of our most beloved teams because of the adversity they overcome, right? You didn't even get to take BP in your own stadium. You had to wear hard hats to go out there sometimes to go to practice. It was crazy. You fired the coach after the first weekend, and you end up going to Omaha and losing to the eventual national champion in the bracket final. We loved that team. We loved those kids. And they're men now, right? But we loved that team. We look back. It's our most improbable run ever to Omaha, Nebraska. And so we look back at that and say, you know what? Hey, that ended up being a great year. And it wasn't a great year because of what happened in the regular season. It's a great year because of what happened in the postseason. So we still have the opportunity to have a great year. If you hadn't done so, visit Duty Noble Book. You get signed copies of all my sports titles. Of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and The Dude, and every Bulldog needs both of those books. You need all of them, really. And the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you have. She has a great bedside manner. It's all those years of nursing. And sometimes I think she's nicer to you guys than she is to me. I don't tell her I said that. But anyway, floating has changed my life, and I can tell you nothing has been better for my anxiety, and nothing's been better for Dana's chronic lower back pain than floating. We've helped many others. We may be able to help you too. And of course, come join us over at jeanspage.com, the greatest Mississippi State media company that has ever existed in the history of the university. Until tomorrow, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.